called you wonderful. When it works. Amen. So we're looking at Luke chapter 24. We have seen these words from Jesus himself to his disciples. And the thing that strikes us, as Christoph has so aptly recalled to us, is that Jesus says to them, remember. Remember what I told you. Remember the words that I shared with you. But he goes on. Not only does he remind them of what he has told them previously, that he would rise again, but then he says to them, in verse 44, this is what I've told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. Jesus Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. It's not an imagination of the disciples. It was not an appearance of a spirit. For indeed, the disciples touched him. And the disciples gave him food, fish, and he ate it in their presence. The disciples encountered the risen, living Christ. And today, there are many right here in this congregation who have encountered the living, resurrected Christ. How do we know that? Because our lives have been changed. As Christoph mentioned, we don't serve a dead Savior. A dead Savior would do nothing for us. A dead Savior would have no impact on us. But rather, we serve the living, resurrected Lord. But Jesus not only calls them to remember, but Jesus goes on to say, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be preached. How? How are we to respond to these words? First, as we hear these words of Jesus, we, like the disciples, must first repent. We, like the disciples, must first repent. We must repent and believe, and then receive forgiveness of sins. Isn't it amazing that we look at the disciples, after being with Jesus for 3 years, after seeing the resurrection of other people, the miracles, the healings, the incredible authority that Jesus had, even to the point of casting out demons, you would think that the disciples would have believed and would have gotten it. And sometimes we step back and we say, oh, you know, if I'd been with Jesus 3 years and if I'd seen those things, I would have believed. I wonder. I think, like the disciples, we're as dumb as a stump. Because you see, Jesus had to open their minds to understand the Scriptures. And Jesus has to open our minds to understand the Scriptures. And out of this comes repentance. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. As the disciples had to repent, so we too must repent. Remember, Jesus said to them, verse 38, he said, why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and blood, as you see I have. They did not believe Jesus' words. Doubts were rising in their minds, just like doubts often rise in our minds. Think back, perhaps, to the first time you heard the story of the resurrection. Perhaps you were like Thomas, one of the disciples who said, unless I see him, unless I put my fingers into the nail scars in his hands, and unless I touch his side, I will not believe. And then Jesus appears to all the disciples, and he specifically speaks to Thomas, and he says, Thomas, come, put your fingers in the nail scars, put your hand on my side, stop doubting and believe. Perhaps he would say that to us this morning. Stop doubting and believe. The disciples had to repent. We too must repent and believe. What does this involve? What does Jesus mean by repentance? What does repentance mean? Repent means a change of mind, a change of understanding. It involves both comprehending and therefore a change of thinking and a change of will. A change of my mind, a change of understanding. The disciples did not understand, and therefore they did not believe. And Jesus opens their minds, helps them to understand. Folks, this was not plan B. This was not a failure. No, this was God's foreordained plan for the Messiah. The Christ must suffer and be killed, but be raised to life on the third day. This was God's plan. Then He opens their mind. They then have an understanding. They can change their thinking, change their embracement of the truth. And so they embrace and believe. So it involves a change of thinking, a change of my will. Why do I say that? Because, you see, you can't just have a cerebral faith. You can't just have intellectual understanding, but you must have an embracement of the truth. How do we know what that is? I act on the truth. I act on the truth. What did the people of that day need to repent of? They need to repent of unbelief. They were not looking for a risen Jesus. They were looking for a dead body. Do you remember the words of the women who came? They said, "We are looking for the body of our Lord. What have you done with Him?" And the angels, I believe there's a slight edge of rebuke. The angel said, "Why are you looking for the dead amongst the living? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" Rebuked by an angel. That ought to be a new TV show. Instead of touched by an angel, how about rebuked by an angel? They did not believe Jesus was who He claimed to be. Why? Because He did not fit their plan, their program. They wanted to make Jesus into what they wanted Him to be, a conquering king, the new king who would come into town and clean up the Romans. And then they had to repent of sin in their lives generally. Sin, which was transgressions of God's law. What about us? What do we need to repent of? As we sit here today, some 2,000 years later, and we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ portrayed before us. We read out of the Scriptures the account of the resurrection. We read the red letter version. We read Jesus' words recorded for all posterity. What do we need to repent of? I think there's several things. Number one, thinking that we don't need Him. We need to repent of the thought that somehow we can go through life without Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in our lives. Thinking that we don't need His forgiveness. We can go through life and God thinks I'm a pretty good person. On my own merits, on my own good deeds and good works, God accepts me. I'm a pretty good person. Let me ask you a question. If that's the case, then why did God send His Son to die in your place, in my place? When we reject Christ, we stick our finger in God's eye. Then we must repent of holding on to our sin. It's one thing to say we believe in Christ, that we want to know Him and we want His forgiveness. Of course, we all want the benefit, don't we? We want the forgiveness. We want eternal life. But repentance means that I turn away from my sin and I turn in faith to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. And so believing is coupled with repentance. They are inseparable. And then out of that, we receive forgiveness of sins. This word forgiveness or remission means the taking away, the removal of my sins. Isn't that a beautiful thought? We had a lot of trash and debris piled up from a spring clean out of the garage and other areas of the house. And we stuffed as much of it as we could into the garbage container, and the rest of it we piled into the garage until trash day. It was a lot. And so the day came, and we pulled the dumpster out there, and then we piled all the trash all around the garbage can, and it was just piled up, and it was like, man, that is nasty looking. What do we want? Did we want someone to come by and spray some Lysol over and say, okay, it's good, you're fine? Did we want someone to come over and just put a couple of plants on top of it and say, hey, doesn't that look nice? No! We want someone to come and remove it! Take it away! And that's what Jesus has done for our sins. His sins were laid upon Him on that cross. You remember His other words that He cried out. It's not recorded in this, which is on the Gospel of Luke. But He cries out in the Gospel of John. He says, it is finished. Meaning the debt is paid. The bill is paid for. And so we have our sins removed, taken away from us. When we repent of our unbelief and we embrace Jesus Christ, our sins are removed. Why would we think that this is strange? This was prophesied many, many, many times in the Scripture. Psalm 103, verses 11 through 12, is one of those passages that speaks of God's desire to do this for us. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has removed our transgressions from us. It was a foreshadowing of what He would do in Christ. And so we, like the disciples, we must repent, put our faith in Christ, and we receive forgiveness of sins. And then He gives the charge to the disciples. This message must be preached to the entire world. And so we, like those disciples, we must take this message to all those around us. Everyone that we come in contact with, as He empowers us. If Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be, if He is the risen Christ, the Son of God, what must our response be? We must repent. Put our faith in Christ. Receive forgiveness of sins. And then allow God to make us His messengers, His ambassadors. In just a moment, we are going to remember and celebrate the passion of Christ through communion. The Lord has given this to us as a remembrance. You see, He understands that we as humans are frail and we forget. And so He's given us something that we can again and again come back to that reminds us of His sacrifice, the body and the blood of Christ. They're emblems of what He has done for us. And Jesus invites us to come, celebrate, partake, and remember. As we do that, I give to you the word of the Scripture that says how we are to respond to Christ. From Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Jesus invites all to come, but you must first put your faith in Christ. In a moment, we're going to have a moment of prayer and a quiet time of preparation. Preparation to celebrate the Lord's table. If you're here today and you have never put your faith in Christ, if you have never put your faith, repented of unbelief, and put your faith not in some religion, but in the resurrected, living Christ, then what a beautiful day to do it. What a beautiful day to open your heart and say, Lord, I repent of unbelief. I embrace You as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life and make me real. Make me whole. Make me new. Be real to me, Lord. If you're here today and you need to do that, I invite you in the quietness of this moment that you reach out to the living, resurrected Christ. Let us pray.